measure to be live? Are we measuring out how live we are tonight?
I actually got a notification, I think.
Huh. That we're live?
Yeah, I think so. No, wait, that wasn't it. Never mind. Oh, something else. I never get notifications anymore.
God.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I did. There it is.
Look at you go.
Right there.
We're live. Yeah. What a fucking day today. I have fucking felt like shit most of the day. And I was trying to decide if, you know, because I was talking to you guys about the fact that I'm kind of like taking a weed break right now. But I'm not like kind of quantifying it or anything of that nature, just because I, you know, I have something that's coming up. So I didn't want to, start committing to a number, and then fucking be like, oh, by the way, but, yeah. And I'm kind of like, I've decided that this is a, I'm not doing anything for an amount of time. This is an open-ended thing. Like there, I do have something scheduled. It's on the docket for like 9 days away or so. But other than that, I'm not really, I have no end date in mind. It's more of a trying to figure out what it is inside of me that has that, that need to constantly reach for it. It became, I realized from the time before that it definitely became a problem. And I want to just go back to enjoying it. And if I can, then that'll be the case. If I can't, then it won't. And that is just the way that it is. There's only so much leeway that I can give myself before I have to go, all right, rein this fucking shit in. But so I've been like 24 hours without, and I was trying to decide if the way that I've been feeling today is because of that, or if it's just something, if it's something else. Cause the big thing is I'm just antsy. But.
Well, did you go through that the last time or the first couple of days?
Oh yeah. I was wicked antsy.
All right, that's
right. Antsy. And it was worse the first time around. I literally got sick. I could not eat at all. I got visibly sick the first time around. Like it would, the first 3 days were bad. This time I feel off, but most of it is because I'm antsy, and I feel like I'm constantly reaching, or if not that I'm reaching, my brain is reaching for my stuff. You know, it's the same thing with cigarettes. When I quit cigarettes or when I quit vaping, it was that reaching motion where I would go to reach for the cigarettes or reach for my vape, or I feel like I should be doing something that I wasn't doing. And that's the hard part right now, is trying to figure out how to be content in my own body without doing any of these things.
It's tough.
It's fucking horribly difficult. It's insanely difficult.
Well, like, I quit vaping and smoking in March, and I still reach. I still think about it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when somebody just first lights up a cigarette and I smell that and it's like, yeah.
No,
but I won't do it again.
The cigarettes thing, it was definitely time. I knew it. And when I finally did it, I definitely knew it. Like it just was, all right, it's time. And it just fell into place. I didn't have any other, things pulling me to make me feel like I needed to do it. I bought gum. I never chewed it really. I mean, I chewed a few pieces here and there to get past some things, but for the most part, nothing. You know, I just went with it, and it was very, very easy this time. It was like, yes, this is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause I went from vaping, which started really hurting me. And I didn't realize it until it was I wouldn't say too late, but, and then I switched back to cigarettes. And the switchback was so awful. I mean, I hated it. The taste, I hated the feeling that it gave me. It was very easy to let it go and walk away.
Well, the last cigarette I had made me wonder why I ever started doing that shit in the first place. I could tell you that.
Yeah.
It was nasty. Yeah.
And I mean, like I told you, I wound up having a cigarette. And geez, you gonna be all right over there?
You need to run somebody to the, you know,
hospital. I don't know. I think we might have the fucking Rona in the fucking house. Jesus.
That was a wet cough. So you're probably
I did something I shouldn't have done, laying down cough. You done? All right. Jesus. So, yeah. I just knew it was time. And with marijuana, it was one of those things where I told myself initially that when I went back to it, if it remained a problem, that it was going to go, that something was going to have to be done. Now, I said that the last time, and that is the case. So it's going to change. Like, something about it is going to give. Whether I go back to it or not, I can tell you right now, I will never go back to it like I was. I can't. I won't do that to myself. You know, if it's possible to do it if I could fucking talk recreationally, then I will. But otherwise, I mean, I don't see the point in doing it if I'm not getting anything from it, and I wasn't anymore. It was just habitual. It was just that reach here. Let's fulfill this hole that's in you in this second right now. And then 5 minutes later, I might be reaching again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the type of shit that would happen, because I'd be just sedentary and not doing anything and not moving. And, oh, well, let's do something. So it's definitely being comfortable in your own skin doing nothing. And it's very hard. You know, we constantly try to avoid boredom. And I think that sometimes the things that we think are boredom, we should try to embrace them. Like, as these moments where we're just not doing anything. Like, people meditate for fuck's sake, to like clear their head. So I just need to figure out what it is that the mechanism right now, and get rid of it. And if I can, then cool. If I can't, then, you know, so be it. But I'm one of those people where I like to know that I have control over the addiction completely. Like, you could say I don't take no prisoners with it. I'm going to do it my way. And I've never been one to follow like a system or to go to meetings or, I never took like a fucking 12-step program. I just got better. And I've had people argue with me that I should be in a program. And I'll argue that with them until the day I die.
Yeah, but those programs are one size fits all, and one size rarely fits all.
Well, here's the thing, okay? And I'm not trying to demean NA or AA or any of those or any of those things. They are, if they work for you, that's great. But statistically speaking, they don't work any better than anything else. They just don't. Addiction is addiction. It is what it is. But I just, you know, I know that I'm at a point now where it became a fucking problem, and now it's going to get fixed. So You know, I will, like I said, in like a week or so, I've got a little party thing going on, but other than that, it's off the table for a while. And I don't, like, I was talking to Katie about it. Like, I don't know, what was it, last week, Katie, that I said something to you about it? And I said, that I was actually looking forward to it this time.
Yeah. I think it was around last week's show.
Yeah. Cause I was just, at that point I was still smoking and I was like taking hits and not even feeling anything, like taking big dab hits and not feeling a goddamn thing. And I would just be like, why? What is the fucking point? I'm just literally pissing money down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was actually enjoying myself and it was getting me somewhere and I could sit back and relax and enjoy it, that's a different fucking story. But it was not that way anymore. It was completely habitual. And a lot of that is my opiate addiction is huge to blame for that. Huge to fucking blame for that. When I got sober from opiates, I literally just dove headfirst into marijuana. Like, let's just have as much of this around and make sure that I don't go back to that as possible. That was like my mindset. Like, if I have this, this is workable and this is okay. But that's bad. Well, what I did was I made the thing that was kind of okay become the bad thing. Because it became, in essence, as habitual as it was, worse. You know, I mean, my opiate addiction technically was a fuck of a lot worse. You know, my marijuana addiction was, I don't think it was ever going to kill me. You know?
I don't know. Has it ever killed anybody?
I can't imagine. I mean, unless they like fucked up and like fell off a building or something, you know? Well, like,
yeah, I mean,
yeah, something the stupid. Actual
act of using marijuana, has it ever killed him?
Yeah.
You can't really overdose on it.
A little Pennywise, statistically speaking, people don't properly work a program. That's true too. I'll give you that one, little Pennywise. That is a true statement too. A lot of people who go to meetings do so as lip service or just to walk, you know, to walk the walk, but they're not talking the talk. Some people are like that. But I just came to a conclusion that this is not for me anymore. I thought that it was a lot more workable a few months ago, and I came to the conclusion that it isn't. So that's where I'm at. That doesn't mean that I'm fucking against weed, by the way. Like, I'm not going to be like, fucking people who smoke weed, you fucking loser. No, I'm all good with it. Like, I think it's, you know, if it's something you enjoy doing, good on you. I'm not going to sit there and chastise you for it. I just allowed it to become an addiction, and it shouldn't have. And I don't even know so much as addiction at this point as habit, you know, as it is with cigarettes. Because I wonder about the addiction thing for myself with cigarettes, because it was more habit than it was addiction.
I agree.
It's, yeah.
Mine was fear. I was afraid to quit. But I need this. Oh, I need this. You know, what am I going to do?
Well, you know, that kind of thing. Being comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
You know, so, what am I going to do if I need to light up a butt?
Right.
You know, or what am I going to do if all the guys are outside smoking? You know, how am I going to relate?
So, I mean, I could have quit years ago, but I was afraid to be honest with you. I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to cope.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest. And once I got past that part of it, it was easy to quit.
And the funny thing for me is I've quit a few times, like for long periods of time. Like, I quit for a few years back when I was during my second marriage. And way back, I quit for like 6 years. So I'm just surprised that I'm surprised that it never stuck. And I'm surprised that it took me this long to get here, for the cigarettes. As far as like the weed thing, I'm surprised that I got here with the weed thing. I didn't ever think that I would get here. But cigarettes was a long time coming. It should have happened ages ago.
I don't even know why I started, to be honest with you.
Oh, I do. It was just to fit in. It was just
Fit in. Generally, that's usually what it is.
And hang out with people that, and the people that I hung out with smoked.
Same here.
So it was easier for me to smoke and be around them. I mean, you're looking at a guy who grew up with fucking asthma, and I smoked my whole life. Like, it's so stupid. That's fucking ignorant. I mean, the fact that I don't have COPD right now is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm amazed that I don't either. In fact, I was so concerned about COPD when I started having issues with the vape that I got checked out for all that stuff. And I don't, but it scared me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm obviously I'm not out of the woods yet. I mean, I still got life to live. You know, I could have done. It's obvious I've done damage.
Well, you technically have COPD because asthma is a type of.
Right.
Yeah. But you don't have anything else.
It's not worse.
Right.
And to be honest, like, my asthma was worse when I was younger. It's not bad now, which is very surprising after years of fucking abusing my lungs with cigarettes and weed. Like, it just. I don't have the breathing problems that I had when I was young. Very strange. I was such a sickly kid. I spent months in the hospital when I was 7, 8 years old. Yeah, it was weird. I think back on it now, like, and I would be like just in the hospital for like months at a time, and like the kids in school would be sending me like cards and shit to get better, like, because they didn't know how to deal with asthma back then.
Right.
They would hospitalize me. It was crazy. Fuck Dean Cooper. I never smoked tobacco. Got contact highs in college. Oh, fuck you. I never got a goddamn contact high in my life.
Jeez. I did once. That was in New Jersey, Camden, New Jersey, of all places.
I've probably never gotten a contact high because I've always just been high.
Well, I was, you know, I've never really smoked marijuana. I tried it once and I didn't like it, so whatever. Yeah. But I was in New Jersey going to insurance school. I was actually going to insurance school in Pennsylvania, but it was close to New Jersey. And guy I went with had a buddy who lived in Camden, which is, I don't know if you know anything about Camden, but it isn't a pretty place. We're in the projects, staying the night, and everybody's smoking. You know, so yeah, I got a contact high that night, but other than that, never had.
Yeah, no, I've never gotten one. And like I said, it's probably because I just was always smoking weed anyway. I mean, I started when I was young. I started at 14.
So that was my actual first experience with anybody who smoked it. Was that night?
That night?
Yeah, because wow. I'd never been around. You know, I grew up in church and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
A few cigarette smokers, but not weed smokers.
So. Oh, see, I grew up with half of my family smoked weed.
Yeah, nobody I knew.
Oh, God.
Well, unless they did it without my knowledge, you know, that kind of thing.
I had like whole sections of my family that, you know, were weed smokers. And I wound up hanging out. One of my cousins was the one that got me into smoking weed. And it just snowballed from there. But did you see the Joe Rogan episode that I posted there, Steve?
No, which one was that?
Check that one out. Is it obvious? This stuff is not 40 and related at all, folks. And you know, you can bitch all you want. I don't care. We'll get to the meat and potatoes of the episode a little later, but I saw this episode and it's about he had the guys on there from the Wrongful Convictions podcast. And the first story they tell Joe, like, literally makes him cry. And it made me cry. This poor illegal immigrant who like went through this horrible, horrible story to get here. Right. finally gets to Florida, you know, starts working. Some guy sees his work ethic and hires him to come work for him. So he gets like this little place to live in this area, but he's right next to this grandmother, mother, and daughter. And he starts doing cocaine with the daughter regularly. He becomes real friendly with all of them. And, you know, they're always coming over to his house. He's always going over their house, so sort of thing. And he goes out on a cocaine bender by himself one night. Comes back home. And I can't remember what it was he was looking for, but he was looking for something. And he goes to ask them to see if he can borrow whatever it is that he's looking for. Because, you know, they would always, you know, grab things from one another.
Sure.
Goes to their place. Finds the mother and grandmother stabbed to death. Knife on the floor. Hears something in the back room. Thinks there's someone still in the house. Picks up the knife and says, "Who's there?" Now, you got to understand, this guy doesn't speak a lick of English either. Okay. Cleans himself all up and leaves because he's completely afraid that he's going to get caught and sent back home. And so goes to a guy and says, "Hey, I feel bad about this. I've got to go tell the cops." And the guy's like, "No, do not do that." But he does. And spends the next 17 years of his life on death row.
Oh, that sucks.
He's a free man now. The thing that got me was they tell this story about how when he got to jail, he asked the prison guard for a Bible. And the prison guard said to him, "We don't have Bibles here." And he threw Penthouse Forum at him. He spent years reading this over and over and over again. And he was telling his lawyer, he said, "It was funny that the day that I finally got a boner reading it wasn't because I realized what I was reading. It was because I realized I could speak English finally."
Learned English by reading Penthouse.
Penthouse fucking Forum in jail. The whole story of this guy, if you haven't gone and watched this podcast, I recommend that everybody.
So how did he get out?
So they find out that the daughter was the one that killed both of them. And she literally tried to say that she had never threatened anybody that she would kill them. And they had dash cam footage or something from a cop or some footage from a cop where she was saying she was going to kill him and stuff like, and she had been threatening her mother and her grandmother had threatened them before. So it wound up being her. The guy was obviously innocent, but what happened was you get these fucking DAs and these judges who just don't give a fuck.
He's the easy one. He can't defend himself.
Joe Rogan talks about it. He says human beings, whenever there's a game involved, whenever like you need to win or lose, it doesn't matter if you know you're in the wrong, you will still try to win. We all do it. We've all done it. You know, one of the lawyers was talking about how, you know, when you get into that argument with your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, or your boyfriend if you're a woman or whatever, you know, or your boyfriend if you're a guy and you're gay, I don't give a fuck. But if you get into this fucking argument about, you know, "Hey, what'd you do with the car keys?" "Oh, well, I gave them to you." You know, and you vehemently, "I gave you the fucking car keys." But then 20 minutes later, you realize, "Oh, shit. I didn't give her the car keys." But you're still going, "I gave you the fucking car keys."
Well, you never go back and say, "Hey, you were right." You know,
you fucking just right to the bitter end, man. It's like that fucking, that whole thing that they tell you about fucking cheating. When you're cheating on somebody, just lie, lie, lie.
I'm an odd duck. I'm, you know, I tend to be the opposite of that, but it's just,
I've gotten to the point now where it's just lay the fucking cards on the table. What's it matter?
Yeah. So what? I didn't give you the car keys. I'm not going to get, you know, yeah. It's not,
so what? I fucked not worth up.
My time to argue. Yeah.
We've all fucked up. So, yeah. I'll let that get into the meat and potatoes of tonight anyway. I never even introduced the show. Welcome, everybody. Episode 149 of the 40 and Slip. Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell horror story, I believe is what I titled this bitch. If you haven't followed this story.
I haven't.
Oh, my God. I've been watching this one for a while. I think the guy from that chapter put out one in early 2020, about before they had found the kids. This couple right now, and they're both on trial, I believe, currently, or they're in jail awaiting trial or something. And these two got married while her two children were missing, and then the children turned up dead.
Hmm.
Now, during the whole time of this, these two were not answering any questions. Like, people were asking them all about the kids. Where are the kids? Where are the kids? They're fine. They're in Arizona, whatever. That's what they were saying to everybody. And here we are today. So Katie put together this nice fucking timeline. By the way, it is a nice timeline, Katie.
Thanks. It's really long.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and actually, compared to some of the other stuff you've done, it isn't, but I'm sure it took you a while. So to give you guys a little bit of an idea, Chad Daybell was married to his wife Tammy since about 1990. He is a devout member of the Mormon Church, wrote books about his visions and voices that speak to him. Most people would say he's a Mormon extremist. I would definitely say he's a Mormon extremist.
Yeah.
Lori had a son, Colby, with her. Now, this is what I wanted to ask you, Katie. I never heard about Colby.
Yeah, he is her adult son. Tylee and JJ were children. Colby was her adult child from her second marriage.
Oh, okay, so, okay.
The one who lived.
So he's grown up and moved on.
Yes, and he's an adult watching this stuff, obviously, all play out. He was lied to by Lori throughout the whole process, obviously. So it's really sad. He has a very sad perspective in the whole story.
I guess. She divorced, then married her third husband in 2001, and they had daughter Tylee. By 2006, she was divorced again and married fourth husband, Charles Vallow. And in 2014, they adopted Charles' special needs nephew, JJ, and moved the family of four to Hawaii. See, I didn't know that JJ was adopted either.
Yes. He was like a grandnephew, some weird distant relative of Charles. And they ended up taking care of him and eventually adopting him.
Okay. And Charles was the one that she claimed he like stole all her shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll get into the timeline now. So in 2017, the Vallow family, this is Charles and Lori and their kids, moves from Hawaii to Arizona. Lori's third husband and Tylee's father dies of an apparent heart attack. Though now his death is under investigation. And that was in early 2018. Late 2018, Lori meets Chad Daybell for the first time at a religious convention. From there, they grew a friendship, exchanging emails and doing podcasts together, discussing the end of times and extremist religious topics. Now, they believed that the world was going to end like a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes, they did.
So January 2019, Lori is secretly transferring money out of her husband Charles's accounts. She begins speaking in extremes about her religion, threatening to kill Charles if he gets in her way. Excuse me. After being away on a trip, Charles comes home to an empty house where Lori took son JJ and all of his possessions. This prompts him to call the police and ask them to put Lori on a 72-hour mental health check hold. Police speak with Lori. She brushes the whole thing off as a marital dispute, though she does check herself into a mental health facility only to be discharged a few hours later. February to March of 2019, Charles files for divorce from Lori and, at the advice of his lawyer, takes Lori off of his life insurance as his life insurance beneficiary.
Good plan.
And he puts on his sister.
Yeah, and Lori doesn't know this.
Yeah, she did not know. She tries to file for the insurance after his death. But by March, he has a change of heart and wants to try to make the marriage work. Spring 2019, witnesses hear Lori refer to daughter Tylee as a zombie. This was part of her extremist beliefs strengthened by her relationship with Chad Daybell. Now, they believed that the zombies were people whose bodies were taken over by another force and that their soul was in limbo.
Yes. It was like part of this light and dark scale that Chad totally invented himself. Mm-hmm. And
she also thought she was like married to Moroni or she was something like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah. She thinks she was obviously a very important person.
Definitely married to Moroni.
Moron. In July of 2019, Charles arrives at Lori's home to pick up son JJ. While there, an altercation occurs where Charles is shot by Lori's brother, Alex Cox. Jeez. Alex claims self-defense, backed up by Lori. Yeah, he claimed that Charles came at him with a baseball bat. And no charges are filed. So at this point, both JJ and Tylee's fathers are now dead under suspicious circumstances. August of 2019, JJ's service dog is returned to the kennel they purchased it from, seen as odd by everyone who knows the family because JJ was very much in need of that dog. September of 2019, Lori's brother Alex went on a trip with Lori, JJ, and Tylee to Yellowstone National Park. This is the last confirmed sighting of Tylee. A few days after this trip, a friend, Melanie Gibb, is at Lori's home and witnessed Lori calling JJ a zombie. She saw JJ that night. He was asleep in the arms of his uncle, Alex Cox. This was the last confirmed sighting of JJ. September 23rd and 24th, JJ is absent from school. Friend Gibb asks where he is. Lori tells her that he was acting like a zombie, so Alex took him. This is the day that Alex's cell phone pings on Chad Daybell's property, where they will later find the body of JJ and Tylee. The next day, Lori informs the school that JJ will not be returning. October 2nd, 2019, a ring is purchased through deceased Charles's Amazon account, and Lori is looking at wedding dresses online. Now, understand something. At this point, Chad Daybell's wife is still alive.
Yes.
While she's buying the wedding ring and looking at dresses. October 9th, 2019, an assassination attempt is made on Chad Daybell's wife, Tammy. Someone tried to gun her down in their driveway unsuccessfully. October 19th, 2019, Tammy is found dead in her home, aged only 39. Chad says she had gone to sleep the night before with a terrible cough and never woke up. The death was fucking first COVID death right
that's,
there.
That's what I was thinking. Confirmed. It's coronas.
The death was ruled to be from natural causes, and Chad was able to collect her $430,000 life insurance policy. November 5th.
That's a lot of death going on around here. Oh, Lord.
November 5th, 2019. Chad and Lori marry in Hawaii.
Wait, when did his wife die?
It was like October 3 19th. Weeks before that.
October, November. Oh, boy.
November 26th, 2019. Police go to Chad and Lori's residence in Rexburg. Is it Idaho? Yeah, Idaho. Yeah. To do a welfare check on JJ at the request of his grandmother, who had been unable to reach him. Lori tells several different stories about where he is, but police are never able to confirm his location. November 27th, 2019. Police returned to Lori and Chad's home to continue the welfare investigation, but they have both abruptly abandoned the home. Neighbors confirmed JJ and Ty Lee were not with them. December 1st, 2019, Lori and Chad fly to Hawaii. December 11th, 2019, police decide to reopen the investigation on Tammy Daybell's death, ruling it suspicious. December 12th, 2019, Alex Cox dies in Arizona from natural causes. Now, this guy probably did die from natural causes, and it's a fucking bummer.
Yes, because, it totally is.
Because he's probably the guy that killed everybody.
Right.
December 20th of 2019, police officially ruled JJ and Ty Lee as missing people, asking the public for help. They state that Chad and Lori are not being cooperative, and the next day on the 21st, they announce them as people of interest. And at this point, like, reporters have been, like, hounding them, asking them, where are your kids? You know, do you care about your kid, that your kids are missing? Do you care that people... And, like, one of the things she says to the guy, he's like, do you care that all these people are, like, care about your kids and want to know where they are? And she's like, that's great.
Yeah, it's infuriating. They're just like tromping around living their best life in Hawaii. Like, you could tell she had just been to the salon and got her hair blown out. I mean,
they were spending that money that he just fucking got. January 3rd of 2020, FBI obtains a search warrant for the Daybell home. The home he had with now dead Tammy. 43 items were collected from the home, including computers, journals, medications, and other documents. January 25th, 2020, police are able to locate Lori and Chad in Hawaii and serve them with a court order to physically produce JJ and Ty Lee within 5 days. February 20th, 2020, Lori is arrested in Hawaii and charged with 2 counts of desertion of a child, as well as obstructing an officer, solicitation of a crime, and contempt. She is held on a $5 million bond. June 9th, 2020. By this time, Lori has been extradited back to Idaho and had a few court hearings. All the while, Chad is still out free. The FBI obtains a second search warrant at the Daybell home and eventually find the remains of JJ and Ty Lee on the Daybell property. Chad was at the property during the search warrant. Once the police began digging in the part of the yard where the remains were, he attempted to flee. That I didn't hear. Police pull him over and take him in for questioning, eventually arresting him on 2 felony counts involving the concealment of human remains.
Wait, why, if you kill somebody, would you bury them on your own property? Well, that just doesn't make sense.
Did anything about what these two have done made any sense?
None of this has. No.
Well, that's the thing, is that really those weren't Chad's kids. And for a very long time, they were seeing each other in secret. And in fact, Chad lied to the police when they had talked to him. He acted like he didn't even know who Lori was. And they asked, like, well, how can we get a hold of her? And he's like, oh, I don't even have her phone number. But like, they were totally together. Like, they were living together. And he's like, oh, I don't even know her phone number. So I think he thought they were being slick.
Yeah. It's just, the whole thing's gross. June 10th, 2020, the remains found were positively identified as JJ and Ty Lee. Chad's bail is set at $1 million. And July 22nd, 2020, this was the day that Chad and Lori believed the world would end, but it came and went. And they're both in jail.
Oh, it ended for them.
Lori's 5-day jury trial is set to begin on January 25th, 2021. Chad's trial date should be confirmed soon. Many believe the police are taking their time with these lesser charges in order to have time to strengthen their case for murder charges. Oh yeah, I think they're gonna bring him up on murder charges for his wife.
Yeah, I think there's lots of murder charges to be had, but
yeah,
none have been dealt yet. Not a single murder charge has been made in this case for anyone.
And this thing's got everything. They were like part of this like end of the world cult, like this really extremist wing of the Mormon religion, you know, and she was like believing, like she was like, she thought she was like some reincarnated thing. And that she was married to, like, I remember the guy in one of the videos, he's like, he's pointing to the thing on the church. He's like, she thinks she's married to Moroni, that guy there.
Yeah, and that really was all because of Chad's brainwashing, I guess. Because mm-hmm. even before they met, she had grown obsessed with him and his writings and his speeches. He did a bunch of YouTube videos and stuff, which has all been taken down now. They're actually really hard to find now. But
so she drank the fucking Kool-Aid is what
she did. Oh, for sure. She did. Damn. She chugged it.
Oh, I mean.
But her brother must have too.
Yeah, they were all very Mormon. Honestly,
I think with her brother, Katie, I think her brother was just fucking, I think he was just viciously loyal for some reason.
I actually think that relationship was a little bit gross. Personally. Yeah,
I would agree.
When you really dig in deep and listen to some of it, because I mean, there were so many details I cut out of there to just make it concise. And I don't know, it was a really creepy relationship that they had.
Listen, I met a girl once who said she had sex with her brother. Those people are weird.
Gross.
They exist. They exist.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
You know, and I don't know if that was the case here, but I think you're right. I think their relationship was very odd. For a brother and a sister, I think it was very, very odd.
But he totally drank Chad's Kool-Aid too.
Oh, yeah.
Because I will say that really, when it comes to the disposal, at least, I don't know, they really don't know how they came to an end, but the disposal of those children, Lori was not present. It was Chad and Alex.
Yeah. Yeah,
I did. If Alex did all the murders, well, Chad, if he helped bury him, I mean, they're on his property. He had to know. I mean, you'd see the freshly turned dirt, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, that's a big thing I did kind of leave out was on the day that Alex pinged on their property and when they think that they buried the kids, Chad had sent a text message to his wife, Tammy, about finding a raccoon in the yard and shooting it and putting it in their quote unquote pet cemetery that they had, which is where they found one of the children buried. So he was sending her that as a way to cover, like, hey, if you come home and see a fresh hole in the yard, that's why.
That's a big raccoon.
They never did find a raccoon in that yard either.
Yeah, I guess not.
They just found JJ and Tylee.
If we're talking a little Pennywise, if we're talking true crime, I'd like to hear somebody weigh in on Missy Bevers. I think it's Bevers. It's not Beavers from Texas. I think it's spelt Beavers, but it's pronounced Bevers. That's a strange one. I have seen that case, and that is one of the few cases where they have video of the attacker. I don't know if they have video of the actual attack. Obviously, they're not showing it if they do. But they have video of the attacker walking through that church before she shows up. And it's just whoever it is, male or female, they are in complete fucking SWAT gear, head to toe. And they're just walking around nonchalantly from room to room, opening doors. And it is one of the creepiest fucking videos I've ever watched in my life. Because you know that that person is going to kill her. And that he or she is just walking around. Just either looking for her or waiting for her. Or looking for a place to hide. And it is fucking... It creeped me out really bad watching it. I was just like, that's fucked up. But yeah, that is one of the cases that I think that is very interesting. Something fucked up happened and nobody has any fucking clue really. I mean, there's all kinds of like theories, but they all seem to get shot down. Like every time that I see like somebody get accused or in the story, like there's an alibi that completely vindicates them. So that's one that I don't know. What do I think about the father-in-law? It's an interesting one. The father-in-law definitely has the same gait as the person that was walking in that place. But anybody could have that gait. That doesn't prove that it was him.
I honestly, I get the vibe that that's a female, to be honest with you.
I do too.
When I watch that video, I think it's a female.
Yeah, I think someone might have been trying to implicate the father-in-law.
Yeah, because he's definitely suspicious. He's definitely got some things that make you kind of go,
Oh, yeah. I think that there was definitely some stuff that, some weird shit. That's a cool case. I mean, not a cool case. It's a horrible fucking case, but it's an interesting case.
Yes, it is.
You know, I'm very much into these things. I go pretty deep. I'm subscribed to that chapter. I like get all excited when I see a new friggin' video.
Yeah, he's good. Video come out.
Because he just had one that I just watched the other day. Some crazy bitch. Oh, God.
I haven't watched that one yet.
And I watched the one where the kid, the young kid, he was like 19, 20, kills his girlfriend.
Oh, God. That story is so awful.
The church going kid there. Did you see that one?
The one where he like shot her through the bedroom.
Yeah, through the wall.
Yeah.
How the fuck did he hit her? That's what I want to know. What did he do? Fucking, did he do a physics equation outside?
The whole story is so sad.
He shot through the wall and killed her twice, I think.
Yeah, two shots, and they both were angled to shoot her like directly in her head where her pillow sits.
Oh, it was fucking weird. Yeah. So I mean, if you're into the true crime shit, you know, definitely check out that chapter. That guy's got some great videos.
He does. He does an excellent job.
That's where I go for all my shit. So you don't think it's a dad-in-law? I don't know, dude. I can't for sure say that it is or it isn't. I mean, for one, I don't have all the information. You know, I've got what little information is out on the internet. You know, with a lot of these cases, a lot of times we don't know everything until everything's been laid out, and it's a lot of times years later.
Yeah, and the police have to do that really to protect the sanctity of their investigation. You know.
Well, I was just the unsolved mysteries cases that I just watched on Netflix. The one with the hairdresser. They said there's information we're not letting out.
Yep.
Because it's pertinent to the case, and only the killer would know it. And we don't want to let that information out. And I completely understand that from the point of view of law enforcement. I mean, of course.
It's a pretty typical.
Yeah, you've got an ongoing investigation. So, I mean, true crime, we talk about weird shit on this show. And I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes to like evil and shit that really gets under my skin, when I find out that people are doing shit, I think it's creepier than thinking like a fucking ghost or other fucking worldly shit's happening. People can be creepy as fuck. And these people, like, who would kill their fucking own kids? That's the thing that gets me.
Yeah.
But it happens a lot, though.
I know.
Look at Susan Smith back in the day. I mean, it happens.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand it. From my perspective, I don't understand it. You know,
and the thing is, it's always over the same thing. It's always over some guy or some woman or something.
Or money.
Yes, but generally it's almost always over a relationship.
I don't know, man. We here locally in my area right now, two different extreme child neglect cases, one in which the child died and one in which the child miraculously lived. But two trials are going on right now, and it's just pure raw parents neglecting and abusing their kids. Like, why not give that kid to somebody else? Like, if you're really going to treat that kid like shit that much.
Yeah,
because like, it's why my not kid.
It's just
no one
so...
else is gonna beat my kid.
Ugh, it's just the way they so think sickening.
Too.
That's different than going out straight out and killing your kids, you know?
Right. Well, and especially when you read the trial and there's so many adults involved. There's like dozens of adults who are aware of this abuse.
Yeah, we literally just had a case in Bangor, here in Bangor, Maine, and young girl, teenager, I believe, like, I want to say 12, 13, somewhere around that age, was killed by, I don't know if it was her stepfather or whatnot, but they had multiple, reports to the police, to DHHS, nothing was done, and then she winds up getting killed. And, like, it was so sad when I read it. Like, how many times, like, people tried to tell them what was going on.
Yeah.
They just put her back in that home with them. And I get it.
Sad.
I get it that, you know, a lot of these DHHS workers are overworked.
A lot of caseload. Yeah, but a lot of the reason they're overworked like that is because of all the false reports they get. I've had it done to me when I was, when the kids were young.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I'm not going to go into who it was, but I grew up with someone who accused.
There's vindictive people out there, and you do something wrong to them, the first thing they think is, I'm going to send DHS or whatever it's called in your area after you. And then you're on the books for, at least in Pennsylvania, it's 6 months.
Yep.
You're on the books for 6 months. So if anything happens,
you're
fucked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew somebody who did that quite a bit, and it was very, very hard to
grow. Well, it happens a lot. It happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you hang with the wrong crowd, that's the first go-to for a lot of people. And it's sad.
Yeah.
It's happened to my daughter too. I mean, you piss somebody off, first thing they do is call child services.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember, God, my parents doing it when I was a kid. My father calling child services on my mother calling child services on my
father. Yeah, it's a vindictive thing. It's
fucking so stupid. So stupid.
So when they'll get it wrong once in a while, and it's because of, I mean, they hear so much bullshit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to wade through that. Now, a lot of that, sometimes it is neglectful on the child services part.
Yeah. And sometimes they just got too much going on. I mean, mm-hmm. That's a fault of the system. And that's something that we should be fixing as a people together.
I'd like to fix that before we worry about defunding the police or whatever. That shit needs fixed.
Right.
There's a lot of things that need fixing.
Yeah.
The mental health industry needs fixing. There's all kinds of different things that need fixing.
Well, there should be a penalty for making false reports like that, but there isn't.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
I think some states do have some false reporting consequences, but they're so minor.
Yeah, no,
they're like fines or community service type of stuff.
Because if a woman accuses a guy of rape, and that gets publicized in any way, I don't care if it comes back that he is completely innocent.
He's guilty.
Yeah, he's
the rest of his life
ruined.
Yep.
I don't care, and whoever that woman is should face consequences. Like, you can't, I don't believe that you should just be allowed to ruin someone's life and walk on with your day like nothing ever fucking happened.
I agree, but that's a really hard thing to prove. In those scenarios, it's almost always his word against hers, and it's hard to prove it enough to really hand down a punishment. And I think that's why that particular piece of the system is broken.
Well, I think when it's obvious. I think if there's obvious, and there have been some obvious ones.
Yes.
Where the woman was just, she was just being a vindictive cunt.
Right.
And it does happen. I wish it didn't.
Well, and unfortunately, I think it happens a lot with young girls, like minors who get it in their idea of, well, my dad made me mad, so I'm going to make this false report.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So it's a hard, hard thing.
It's awful. And Dean, we can get into the defunding if you'd like to, but I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good too. I mentioned it because that's a minor thing compared to all this other bullshit that's going on.
I don't think it's a minor thing, but
well, there should, what I'm saying is the call for what they're trying to, I don't really want to get into it, but what they're trying to do isn't what is necessary. There should be some, it's just a long,
here's the problem that I have with it. When I see a police force buying a Humvee as a tactical fucking thing in like fucking podunk fucking wherever America, there's a problem.
I agree with that. They don't need that.
That is fucking unneeded. So when people call to defund the police for that shit, I have no fucking problem with that. I think that what we need is more training for police officers, in high tension situations.
Yeah.
Because also, there needs to be more punishment for police officers who do bullshit shit.
Yes,
you know, absolutely.
That and the thin blue line bullshit has to stop.
Needs to end. And Jocko, I think it's Jocko Willink, was on Joe Rogan recently. He talked about how much training he would make police officers go through on a weekly basis, and I agree with him. They should be doing far more training than what they are, and on a regular fucking basis. And we should be okay with paying for that shit.
Yes.
If we want to have a well-educated police force, then that is what we need. But, you know, here's the thing. And, say what you will about it. They've got to fucking do it properly.
Yep.
And the police should want all this shit. They should want the training. Here's something else that was brought up. The fact that police officers are allowed to lie to you when they interrogate you. But you're not allowed to lie to them, really. I mean, you can't.
There just needs to be stricter regulations on cop can and can't do.
Yes. And I think that the police officers should be calling for this. They should be calling.
And I agree with Dean. Calling it defunding is stupid.
Yep.
Because defunding automatically makes people think that, okay, we don't want cops around. And a lot of them don't. I mean, duh.
Some people are stupid enough to think that they don't need cops around.
Yeah, yet. Look at Seattle and Portland. I mean,
listen, I've said it many, many times. People are stupid. They're dumb as fuck.
Well, you know, and the call for defunding has made people who pay taxes in these big cities want to leave these big cities, you know, because of the way it's been worded and talked about. So they're going to lose out.
And it's a problem, and it's something we need to figure out, and we need to figure it out fucking soon.
Yeah, I'm sick of all these riots and all this bullshit. I just want things to go back to normal. 2020 sucks.
It's 2020. Yeah. You got to wait till 2021 for that.
Steve. How many more months do we got? Shit.
Five. I think. A little less than five, Steve. That's what you get. You getting news tonight, Steve?
Yeah, I do.
You do? Well, on a lighter note.
Well, it's going to be tough to do the news without Richard's da 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 in the chat, but we'll try.
Yeah, you try.
So,
such predicaments, I must forge ahead.
Ford has a dog robot now, and its name is Fluffy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bright yellow robot. And it travels around auto plants, fetching pictures and videos to help engineers designing upgrades for workspaces. So it takes pictures.
Oh.
The picture taken robot dog named Fluffy.
Oh. Is it like that MIT robot?
I don't know. It runs. It runs, walks, and prances rhythmically, tapping its 4 feet before it sinks down on its haunches and crouches.
How long before I can have an AI dog? That's what I want to know.
I think they only cost like $475,000.
Yeah. Fucking right. Yeah.
So, a while.
Can we start that GoFundMe?
So, Fluffy doesn't have any fur, though. That's the problem. Oh. They make a dog robot, but don't put fur on it. But they give him a dog bed and a bone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does he pick up the bone?
He doesn't, no, because he has no teeth. Oh. He's just a picture-taking dog. A movie, video taken dog.
Yeah.
I like it.
Big brothers in the Ford plants now.
So what they're trying to do with Fluffy is build, more accurate, more, what do you call that?
Lifelike?
No, no, no. They're not trying to build robots with Fluffy. They're trying to build better factories. So he goes around the factory and takes video of it so that they can see what's wrong and what works.
Quality control.
Yeah, yes. Basically.
Good old quality control.
So Fluffy's down at the Van Dyke Transmission Plant in Michigan.
Ooh.
Where he's at. He has a $300,000 robot, but there is a robot model named Spot that can be purchased for $74,500. So there you go, Chris.
$74,000. Ooh. Yeah. I'm going to get to work on that shit.
Well, you're a lot closer than $300,000 or $400,000.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was from Huffington Post.
I might be able to get there.
So our buddy, Elon Musk, my favorite.
Ooh, I love Iron Man.
Yeah. He tweets about an alien conspiracy theory.
So what?
He apparently believed that the aliens built the pyramids. So his tweet was obvious. Or aliens built the pyramids of. That's it. That's his whole
tweet. That was his whole tweet.
Yeah. And so he's facing a lot of...
And then he was like, backlash. Buy my new fucking truck that looks like a box.
He, I think, quickly realized his error and then tweeted again that the Great Pyramids was the tallest structure made by humans for 38,000 or 3,800 years. That's 3,800 years. That was his second tweet. So, but his initial tweet.
Sold huh? flamethrowers to people, Steve.
Hey, whatever, you know. His initial tweet was liked by more than 500,000 people. Of course, scientists are still unsure how the Egyptian pyramids were actually constructed before modern technology, but they're upset the experts.
I think the dude down at the Coral Castle had it figured out.
He did. I was looking into that this week, actually, and it just, the guy took it to his death with him, and that sucks because they still haven't figured it out. So I guess one of the doors at that place stopped working eventually.
They
had to fix it. And it took like a crane and all these workers, and they still can't get it the way he had it. Because a little kid, remember the door that the little kid could push open? And
it just pushed open. Yeah.
Yeah, they can't get it right. Even with all the modern technology that we have, they don't know how he did it.
Jesus
Christ. Anyway, Elon's tweet upset some Egyptologists.
Oh, those fucking cunts.
Egypt's Minister of International Cooperation invited Musk to visit the tombs to see how it was really done.
Has he?
Yes.
Don't fucking let that motherfucker come over here. There, he'll figure out how it was built.
That's right. Anyway, so of course, they claim.
If you want to keep your history the way it is, Egyptologists, don't let that motherfucker come over there.
The experts say that there's plenty of evidence that pyramids were built by human hands, even if it's not clear how they did it.
All right.
And
I think it's the Coral Castle, dude.
Yeah, that is the news. I want to visit the Coral Castle.
Hell, I went to America's Stonehenge yesterday.
Yeah, we're really considering a trip to Florida, so maybe I will when I'm down there. But how was Stonehenge? America's Stone.
It was fun. Let's see if I can pop up some.
I did view your photos, and they were, photos.
They are photos. that they are. I did do some videos. Let me see if I can. All right. Yeah. Here we go. Let you guys see some of these. Share screen. We'll go Chrome tab. Where are we? Facebook. We'll share that thing.
So what do they claim on this stuff?
Well, they claim that it was it's a prehistoric structure. There are all kinds of like astrological alignments. There's stones that mark the sunsets and
it's pretty interesting how they had chain link fence back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's like one of the standing stones that marks where the sun sets. Those are all just around the main structure. That's another one of the sunset stones there. Some Karen rocks that everybody's putting there. That's inside the structure, those two. From above, that's down that area. I'm trying to find the one of me next to one of the stones.
So do they claim any dates on these structures?
No, they don't have any. So I can't remember when it was found.
Right.
When the dude found it. I'm trying to find that picture of... There it is right there. That's one of the stones. Those standing stones where they mark where the sun rises and sunsets.
So these stones aren't super huge like Stonehenge.
Some are pretty fucking big. I don't know if they're quite that big though.
I was intrigued by those little rocks. There was a whole bunch of stacks of the little rocks all stacked on top of each other.
The Karens?
I don't know. It was in one of the pictures you sent me, and it was more like, I don't know, palm-sized rocks, and they were all stacked on top of each other. That a whole bunch of them.
That might have been the Karen rocks that people were leaving there on top of all the rocks. That's just something that people do as they walk by.
Oh, okay.
There's like a whole bunch of them. But yeah, it was fun. Holly and I, instead of doing a show yesterday, we went out to, I think it's by Salem, New Hampshire, America's Stonehenge, and it's right next to a llama farm. Like the people that own it own the llama farm. So as you come out of the America's Stonehenge, there's like llamas next to you, which is kind of interesting.
Is there any admission or anything, or you just go?
Yeah, it cost us $13 a piece to get in. No, it wasn't. And she said that you can get like a year round pass for it. And like, there's some really nice walking trails, but they groom it in the winter for like snowshoeing and shit. So she had thought about getting a season pass once just to be able to go down there to walk around and, you know, regularly without having to worry about paying for it.
I think when you look at these old structures that were made prior to our knowledge, you know, like Egypt and this America Stonehenge thing, those people had much more knowledge of what was going on as the stars and the sun and all that stuff than an average person today does. So when we look at it, it's like this amazing feat.
And it probably I think a lot of times people forget that we are inundated with technology. Like yeah, we're constantly looking at TV screens, phone screens, computer screens. They were looking at the world.
Yeah, and they didn't have the light pollution that we have. The sky was their guide to do everything, you know, the alignment of the stars. So it's not that odd that they would have built something like that, I don't think.
And I've often thought about that you know, it isn't that far-fetched that people were able to figure out star alignments. Based on
the big heavy stones and stuff, that's a different story. How they did that, you know.
But it was definitely an interesting place, and Holly and I are going to do a whole show on it, probably this coming Saturday. But we just literally took the day. She came out and picked me up at like 9 a.m. and we went out, and we got there about a little bit before 11, and I think by just before noon we were done, and we were headed back. So it was fun. It was a good little day. We had a good time. So, and then I went and visited with my cousin for a little bit, and came home. It's the longest I've been out of the house in a while. I can tell you that. I'm mostly just fucking sticking around right here, but mostly because of Una and the puppies. I can't really go anywhere. And yesterday we were able to leave Ariana with Una and the puppies, and you know, she was able to do all right. Because it isn't that I don't trust her with them. It's that I'm worried that something's going to happen and she can't handle it. So, but she's been good. She did all right. She took her out yesterday and everything was good. So, puppies will be going soon. But On that note, I think I'm going to wrap this whole fucking thing up here, Steve. This has been The 40 and Slip, episode 149, The Lori Vallow Chad Daybell Horror Story. If you haven't fucking looked into that story, folks, I'm telling you, take a deeper fucking look. It's pretty sick, the whole thing. If you like this shit, hit the little thumbs up button. If you don't, hit the little thumbs down button. Leave a comment. Subscribe. Check us out over at anchor.fm/the40andslip. Show should be up by tomorrow. Last week I fucked up. I didn't get it up till Monday night, I think. Check out our good friend Dreadfun at dreadfun.com and youtube.com/dreadfun. And check out our good friends over at High Society Radio. That's at gasdigitalnetwork.com and wherever podcasts may be found. We will be back next week. I do believe I have not gotten a complete confirmation, although I will try to touch base with him this week. We'll have Tom Reed. And he said something about having the judge on with him. I think it's the judge that unsealed the documents. So that should be interesting. I will try to touch base with him this week and find out for sure about Sunday. I do know he does plan on coming on the show. So I will update you all if anything changes. Until next week. See you.